Now, today's going to be a little bit different. We got back from camp yesterday, and it's been an incredible week. And really, what this morning's service is going to be about is giving you some information, really, a bit of an update as to how it all went. In that, I'm going to share with you some of the things that we considered during our Bible time at camp as well, and encourage your hearts with that, and a few other things, because your support and your prayers were so felt this week. I can't stress that enough. Thank you for your prayer ministry, and for those that do financial giving as well. It's incredibly humbling to know that we've got a huge group of people behind us when we're out there, because it's a lot during the week, and we need that strength, and we found it, and we got it. We got it from God, so thank you for that. Now, by way of sort of starting our service this morning, I want to share with you one of the things I shared with the team this week. So each day, we start our day nice and early. So we have a 7 o'clock leaders meeting for at least four of us. We've already been up since six playing with the children Jenga and Twister and all those sorts of things, because it turns out children love getting up early. Not sure why. However much you tire them out, they still like to get up at 6 o'clock. But each morning we have a leaders meeting, and the purpose of our leaders meeting in the morning is to prepare the team for the day. So that's quite practical in a lot of ways. That's to say, these are the activities that we're doing, this is who's running them, these are the safety points that you need to think about, and so on. My responsibility for the week was on the teaching and the preaching program, but also to sort of bring out a devotional encouragement for the team and encourage each day so that we can gain a little bit of strength from that meeting and go out and serve the Lord. So I want to share with you maybe two of those this morning, just for your encouragement. And the first is in Micah 6. My theme to take through the week on the leaders' meetings was around God's will. I don't know if you're a person that spent a lot of time thinking about what God's will is, but I am, particularly during my sort of late teens, early 20s, I would say. That was a period of time where I was very much concerned about God's will, because of the nature of that time of life, making some big decisions, trying to understand what you should do next, who you should marry, where you should live, what job you should do, and all of that. And these things, when we think about what God's will is for our lives, we can sometimes just think about those things. We can get very caught up in events and very caught up in circumstances, which is absolutely vital to bring before God and seek his will in. But it is the case that in Scripture, we have for us in a number of places explicit recording of what God's will is. He tells us, this is my will for you, in various different places. And during this week at camp, we spent a little bit of time just dwelling on those in the morning to see what God's will is for the team. And it's the same will that there is for you. And the application, perhaps the circumstances is slightly different, but it is still God's will for you. So the first of those that we looked at was in Micah chapter 6. And in Micah chapter 6, very well-known verses. We were actually thinking about these on the Tuesday fairly recently. But I'll read you verses 7 and 8. It says there, "Will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams, with 10,000s of rivers of oil? Shall I give my firstborn for my transgression, the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul? He has told you, O man, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you but to do justice, to love kindness, and to walk humbly with your God?" To do justice, to love kindness, and to walk humbly with your God. That is God's will for you. Now, let's just unpack that a little bit, and I'll tell you what I told the team, and I'd love to hopefully spur on your hearts and your minds to think about what that means in your situation and your life. But the first of those then is to do justice. Now, if you're not aware, the context of Fire and Falcon is that we are a camp that is fully supported by charitable giving, with the intention that we can give children a holiday who otherwise might not have one. So So all of the children that we took away on camp this year, we took 23 children away for the week. All of them, in some way, shape or form, face challenge or disadvantage in their life. So to give you an idea of what that might look like, we had a few children this year who'd faced the loss of a parent this year. And they'd gone through that experience, and they're still going through that experience as we take them away. Most of the children that we take away are in financial hardship. That takes forms in very many different places, but many of them have had periods of homelessness. Many of them have had periods of not quite knowing what the next day brings. That finds itself in lots of circumstances, whether it be their food and their diet, whether it be their clothes, whether it be their circumstances at school. They face those kind of hardships. Many of them, or a few of them, have also faced horrific circumstances in their life, whether that be abuse, whether that be parents who abuse drugs, whether that be just really difficult circumstances. I won't go into the specifics of. But they are children who are intimately aware of injustice. They are aware, day by day, of what pain and injustice there is in this world. The effects of sin on the entirety of creation are felt in so many different places. And for these children, they face that in a way that perhaps many of us haven't or never will. So we take this call from Micah and we say, well, we are called to be a people. God's will for us is to be a people who do justice. And what we had an opportunity to do this week is to give these children a week where they knew consistently what to expect. They knew that it didn't matter what they did, they were going to be loved this week at camp. They knew that even when their behaviour was challenging, we weren't going to change that. We weren't going to belittle them and be angry at them and put them on the spot. We were going to love them. They knew at the same time that we had an expectation from them to show fairness to the other children. We have one rule on camp, and that is make everybody else's week the best week it can be. And that makes our disciplining really easy, because if a child does something to another child, we just ask the question, do you think that made their week better? And if they say no, then we go, great, let's do something about it, let's move on. And we were able, through some of those structures, to show the children what loving and clear boundaries looks like while maintaining justice and while maintaining the fact that, yeah, we're not going to stand for children hitting other children or swearing at other children or doing these things that they might be. We weren't there to show that justice is harsh discipline. We were there to show that justice is showing God's heart in circumstances. That's what that looked like for us this week, to do justice. And by the end of the week, we had, and I'm not saying it's directly from that particular point, but we have a couple of children who, really this year, they've had a really difficult time. They've been staying with family members they wouldn't normally stay with, been staying in households that are a little bit disrupted, let's say. But they were able to say to us, I slept really well last night because I felt safe. And that's not something that they feel. And that was one of those wonderful moments that we could really just reflect on and praise the Lord for, that we fostered that culture for them this week. So to do justice. Secondly, to love kindness, or to love mercy, a lot of translations will say. Our actions, they matter. The children are always watching, is one of the things that we'll talk about at camp. And they're not just watching how you interact with them, they're watching how you interact with the other children, and they're watching how you interact with each other. And so my encouragement to the team on Monday morning was just to really consider those things in everything that we do. Are we kind to one another? Can the children see that our relationship with one another is one of love? That they can have that model? A lot of the adults in their life don't model that kind of action. So we could have a chance to do that, and every time we do that, it's a chance to say to them why we do that. We know what it is to love kindness because we have been shown love and kindness in a way that is supreme above all. That sometimes and often is more impactful than preaching sermons, or than telling people doctrine, or than expositing scripture. Sometimes actually just being consistent and showing kindness has that impact. So that was something that I encouraged the team on this week. Let me encourage you in that as well. That's God's will for you, is to love kindness. What does that look like in your life? Who are the people that you can show kindness to and that you can love doing that? Please be encouraged by that. And then thirdly and finally on this one, to walk humbly. That is the final thing. What does the Lord require of you? To walk humbly. And humility was my gauntlet that I threw down at the beginning of the week that the team picked up in a massive way. It can be really easy when you've got a team of really strong people for ego to creep in different places and to say, I did this thing really well. This part of camp was a success because of me, or I'm going to take control of this situation because I've got it and it's in my hands. But we've been seeing this, haven't we, in the life of Saul. And we've been seeing it in various different places in Scripture, that there is absolutely no place for ego with God. God is the source of all these good things and these talents and these skills that he's equipped us with. And anything that we're involved in for him, and anything that is achieved through that work, is God achieving it for his own glory through us. And so if we get that right in our minds, then it gives us an opportunity in our actions to focus on that. And really what that looked like in the team this week was to encourage them to try and outdo one another with humility. Who can be the most humble? Who can make sure that everybody else has their orange juice first? Or who can it be that goes and does the bins, which is the job that no one wants to do? Or whatever it might be. That's particularly difficult when you're weary and you're tired and you've been doing it all week and the children aren't behaving for you. But that is a good and right and blessed way to live and to act. And that is God's will for you. What he wants in your life is those three things: to do justice, to love kindness, and to walk humbly. It brings him glory. It brings others to him. And so let me encourage you with that as well this morning, because it's as true for you as it is for the team. So as I said earlier, my plan for today really is to give you a bit of an overview of what happened this week on camp for your encouragement, and to give you a report really on what happened. So to do that, I've got it here, sorry I haven't got it up there. I'm going to walk you through the timetable at quite a high level and just draw out things that happened, just tell you what we get involved in. Hopefully it'll give you a good flavour of, well, what actually do we do when we go. And also what I'll do as well is I'll let you know about the teaching, really, so that you know what we've been considering this week. We head up as a leadership team on Saturday. We head up to the site the sort of evening before the children arrive. We do that for a couple of reasons. One is to set up the site. So the site that we had this year is a place called Stanley Head up in Stoke. It's a council-owned and run activity centre. What that means is they had on-site some accommodation blocks, they had a canteen block, they had a few other things around, and then the site was a big, sprawling ex-farm, so it used to be a farm, and all the buildings are sort of converted to farm buildings, that had on the site activities that children during the week had an opportunity to do. There's a lake down the bottom, which was terrifyingly low in terms of the water level when we arrived on Monday. Thankfully, we had some rain during the week and it came up a bit. There's a lake down the bottom. There's some high ropes where children get harnesses put on and they climb up rock walls and they go along between the trees and things like that. They had archery. All those sorts of activities were available. And we went up on Saturday to set that up. On Sunday, we continued with some of that site prep, and one of the things we do as a leadership team, or we try and do as much as possible, is find a local church and go to church together on the Sunday. Children arrive in the afternoon, so we make a point really as a team to try and go to a local church and encourage them, and really encourage as a team that we've worshipped together before the children arrive. We did that this year at a church that a number of the leaders came from. We were only 25 minutes away from Kids Grove in Stoke, where many of our leadership team came from. So we went with them, and it was a wonderful time. And they had an all-age service on, so Edie loved it. She had a tambourine and was worshipping God with that. And it was just a really encouraging time, because as a church, they support us quite a bit as well, financially and with people, obviously. So it was just really encouraging to go and see them on Sunday morning. Now, meanwhile, Jonathan was here playing the music, and then he went very quickly away from here with the minibus to pick up the children in Huntingdon. So that's really half of the children come from Huntingdon. Jason, another one of the leaders, drove a minibus into Stoke to pick up children from there. So that's about another half of them. And then we had two others who arrived in different ways and sort of made their own way there. We did it quite well, where actually we all arrived within 20 minutes of each other, by God's grace. We were slightly worried that we'd have one group there for a long time and the others wouldn't arrive, but they all arrived on Sunday afternoon, and one of the things that we emphasise on camp is that in every situation that children arrive into, we want to set the tone for them. That means a few things. When we have our morning service, our morning sort of Bible time and reading, we will send leaders into the room first, and they will sit in the room quietly. When a child arrives, they arrive in a quiet room and they sit quietly. It's amazing how this works. If they arrive into a room where leaders are all excitedly talking to each other, they will excitedly join in. You can set rooms like that. Well, we put that in all of our programme. And actually, one of the things that has been really powerful is when the minibuses arrive, we are slightly maniacal in our welcome to them. We are jumping up and down, we're screaming, we're waving, we're saying how excited we are, we're giving it big guns there. And we welcome them to camp. Now, the kids that have come before, they're expecting it and they love it. They get off the minibus and they're all high fives and it's just the best time they've ever had. The Stoke minibus, none of the kids there, or one of the kids there have been before, and the rest of them have never been before. So imagine this, you're arriving on a site that you've never been to before, with a group of kids you don't know very well, with a bunch of adults you've never really met. And when they open the minibus door, they're all screaming and shouting at you and waving. They loved it. They absolutely loved it. To the point where some of the girls said it was their best moment on camp. They just immediately felt like they were welcome, they were part of it, and they were there to be part of our holiday. And that's exactly what we're trying to do. So that's how it all starts. So they arrived at about 3-4 o'clock, something like that. The rest of the day is really about settling in, about introducing yourselves, about the children knowing who you are, knowing who each other is, and introducing to them what our purpose is really for the camp. So we did that in a couple of ways. We took them straight on a site tour. And given the size of the site, that's not a small thing. So we were out for a walk for 20 minutes, half an hour, of just going to the lake and showing them the lake and going up to the top, showing them where the fields are. And just during that time, you do a lot of walking and a lot of talking with them. Getting to know who they are, making sure they know who you are, what your name is, trying to remember a fact about them, and getting them as comfortable as they can straight away. Now, each day, I have the opportunity to open the Bible with them and to preach to them. And on that first Sunday, what that looks like is something a little bit more kind of light touch. My theme for the week and the theme that we took the children through was about David and his life. And I'll dip into that as we go through each day. But on the Sunday, really what the opportunity is to say to them, this is why you're here, this is why we are here, and this is what we're going to show you this week. And what that means is, you're here to have a holiday and to have a great time. But we're here because we love God. We have been loved by Jesus and we want to share that love with you. At that point, I told the children, every one of the adults here is a volunteer. We're not paid to be here. That sounds simple. For a lot of these children, the only adults in their lives are people who are paid to be there and paid to be in their lives. And actually to say to them, we're on holiday, is massive. If you've got a question, please do ask. Great question. So we have a range of 8 to 12 at our camp. So once children are in year 7, the summer after they finish year 7 is the last camp they'll have with us. And then we try and find them somewhere else to go or churches to plug into following that. And then the youngest are 8. And that is quite a range. You know, the 12-year-olds are a lot older than the 8-year-olds. But what you find is that during the week, the 12-year-olds come down in their kind of... what would you call it? Not maturity, but they become more like children. And they have a great time as kids. And then the 8-year-olds just have a great time because they're on holiday. Sort of do that. But what I'm telling them on that first day then is that's why we're here. And we're here to share that love with you. And we want you to know about it. And just setting the scene and saying, I'm going to take you every day through the Bible. We're going to be looking at a person in the Bible. But though what we're looking at was 3,000 years ago, it's really relevant to you today. And that's why we're here. We're excited to go kayaking with you. We're excited to climb up big trees with you. We're excited to go on roller coasters. But we're more excited to share the gospel with you. And just set that out front and centre at the beginning. So we did that and it went very well. We had dinner together. I'm saying quite a lot about this first day because it really sets up the rest. But we have dinner together. The way that we do meals is very intentional at camp. It's sat round a table of about 8 or 9 this year. We put food in the middle and the leaders will serve the children the food and we kind of eat family style. Children need to sit the entire meal. The leaders are the ones that are going to do everything they ever need. And they're just there to eat, enjoy the meal and have conversation with us. We don't have tables where maybe it's just all children or children who know each other. We make a point to have leaders sat in the room before the children come in so that every table has at least 2 or 3 leaders on it. And then you've got sort of leader, 2 children, and so on. And it's really all intentionally fostering that feeling of a family holiday. There's conversations that open up opportunities for the gospel and making the children feel loved. And then the last thing we do before they go to bed is we read the Bible to them. Every year, we will read an entirety of a gospel to the children in the half an hour, 45 minutes before they go to bed. So this year we were looking at Mark's gospel. On day 1 we read chapters 1, 2, 3, 4, day 2, 5, 6, 7, so on and so on. And in the week they hear the entire gospel. And it's just sit quietly and listen, that's it. There's no exposition, there's nothing that goes on top of that. But it's been a really blessed time over the years that we do. And this year in particular, as we got to the last reading, as we looked at the crucifixion, an incredibly powerful time. Incredibly moving and incredibly impactful to the children as they heard it. And then that brings about the end of day 1. And that's just really a third of a day, that first day. That's a short one, but that is what we did on Sunday. Now, I mentioned already, I'm going to do Monday as well, but you'll find this is a little bit quicker. I mentioned already, my theme for the weekend was to take them through the life of David. And we had that. I've got Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. I've got 5 talks, really, to take them through. And I chose David for a couple of reasons, mostly because we're doing 1 Samuel here. And it's quite fresh, and it's good to go ahead and look at where we're going and get a little bit of a thought for it. Secondly, it's quite an engaging story for children. It's really important to meet, as we present the gospel to whoever we're coming into contact with, it's really important we meet them where they are and kind of make it appropriate. So choose David for that. It's great. There's some very exciting stories. There's some very engaging stories. And you get the full spectrum, really, of the gospel. So that was the intention throughout the week. And each talk, I'd have really 1 key takeaway that I wanted the children to take. So on Monday, what we looked at there, and we're going to be here fairly shortly in our considerations of 1 Samuel, what we looked at on Monday was the anointing of David as the king of Israel. And if you don't know what happens in that period, what it is Samuel's rejected and God has rejected Saul, and we know that. We've just read that God says to Saul, your son will not reign after you. Instead, there will be another. And God sends Samuel out to find the other one. And he says to him, it's the son of Jesse. So he goes and he finds Jesse in Bethlehem. Turns out Jesse's got 7 sons. But when he arrives, he thinks, oh, I can tell which one it is. It's not hard to pick out of your 7 sons which one's going to be the king. It's this one, your oldest son, Eliab. He's big, he's strong, he's good looking, he's a leader, he's the oldest, he tells his brothers what to do. That's got to be God's king. Well, who does that sound a bit like? Sounds a bit like Saul, doesn't it? And we've learned, haven't we, that whether you look the part doesn't matter. And through that chapter, kind of the key verse in the middle of it, is where it says, man looks on the outward appearance, but God looks on the heart. And Samuel goes to all the sons of Jesse, and he lands on them, and he says, is there any other son? Oh, I've got my youngest son, it's David, he's out watching the sheep. In comes David, the smallest, the youngest, still good looking, but that's when we hear that verse. And what we learn really in that context is that there was going to be a contrast between the first king of Israel, who looked the part, and the second king of Israel, who fit the part, because his heart was about the things of God. The application for the children, then, was this. Doesn't matter what you look like. Doesn't matter where you come from. Doesn't matter what your background is. Doesn't matter who your family is. It doesn't matter what's happened to you. It doesn't matter what you've been involved in. It's not about these outward appearances. You don't have to be You know, I didn't use these words, but you don't have to be a white middle class family to go to church and to be a Christian. You don't have to have a mum and a dad who go to church with you. You don't have to have this idyllic situation. That's not what God's interested in. He's interested in you. He's interested in your heart. He's interested in what makes you you, and that's who he loves. And we were able to start the week by trying to break down some of those preconceived ideas they might have had about the gospel. Now, on Monday, we then had, during the week, Monday, Wednesday and Friday, the site themselves, so not our leaders, ran activities, which was great. So on Monday, they took the kids canoeing. Dawn will tell you, probably the most physically demanding and tiring part of the week, because it was very windy. The children were not canoeing. They had a leader in every boat, and that leader was really doing the canoeing. But they had a great time. They really loved it. No one really fell out with anyone. They came back very tired, which was great for us. And that's the whole morning got taken up doing that activity. We then have lunch, same style as every other meal, sit around the tables, eat lunch together. And at the end of lunch every day, we get a chance to sort of reinforce the message that we do in the morning. In the morning, it's get them into a different room, sit them down and preach to them. At lunchtime, while they're sat at their tables, two of our younger leaders this year prepared little talks to share with the children at lunchtime. And really, that was just to kind of bring to life a little bit of what we thought about in the morning. They had a little skit that they would do at the beginning where one of them would walk in and say, I've got a really big problem. I've got a problem. I don't know what to do about it. I've really got this issue. And it might be that the issue was, I don't know what clothes to wear, because on Monday it was about looking at the outward appearance, but God looking at the heart. And then what the other one would say is, well, if you've got a problem, look at the Bible. By the end of the week, the kids were saying, if you've got a problem, look at the Bible. And they got a chance to look at scriptures, tended to be in the New Testament, which was really nice for reinforcement, to say to them, it's not about what you look like, it's not about what you wear, it's about your heart and turning your heart to God. So lunchtime, we hit them with that again. After lunch, every year we make t-shirts with the children, plain white t-shirt. All we say to them is you have to draw our little logo, it's a little flame that we have, and then they can decorate it pretty much however they like after that. Do that for two reasons. One, it guarantees they've got a good t-shirt that's clean and able to be worn, and some of them don't arrive with that. And the second thing, it means that when we go off-site to other locations, you can spot them from miles away. They're great. So we make them make a t-shirt on the first day. Took them swimming, went to a local swimming pool, got them to go swimming for a couple of hours. They love that. In previous years, we always have had a site with a swimming pool on site. So we missed that a lot this year, but on Monday we took them off on the minibuses to go swimming. And then in the evening, the same sort of story. We had dinner, we went for a walk, we did the entertainment, and we read the next part of Mark's gospel. Tuesday, slightly different day. Starts very similarly. We begin with breakfast, and we troop out from breakfast to the breakfast talk. And on Tuesday, the event in David's life that we were looking at was David and Goliath. That happens quite early on. That's what happened next. Now, it's a story that's pretty well known, and it's a story that I think a number of the children had heard in some way, shape or form previously. And I wanted to be quite specific on the emphasis to get out of it. I've been thinking about it since. I think when we get there in our studies, we're probably going to have a couple of weeks, maybe a few more than that, because there's lots of different angles and aspects that you can take out of the occasion of David and Goliath. But the emphasis I really wanted the children to think about and to take away was this. In that story, in those events, it's very tempting to read it and to put yourself into the story, and the person that you put yourself in as is David. And you can read it and say, I can go into a fight and, you know, with God on my side, anything is possible. And that is absolutely true. And that's why I'm saying I want to do that as one of the aspects that we take from that story, because it's a good one and it's a really valid one. But it's not the one that I wanted them to take away this week. You see, when we look at the story of David and Goliath and what happened there, the people that we're most like as readers is the Israelites. They were helpless. They were stood there in their army, opposite the Philistines, the valley in between. And Goliath came out every day for 40 days and said, if one of you can beat me in a fight, this whole war is over, we will be your slaves, you will have won. But if I beat you, vice versa, you will be our slaves and we will win. And the Israelites were quaking in their boots. They could do nothing. They were helpless. Goliath was potentially 9 feet 6 inches tall. His armour weighed as much as a man. His spear was 6 kilograms heavy at the tip. I mean, this guy was, he could beat anyone, if you want to put it like that. You were not going to beat this guy in a fight. And so the Israelites were completely helpless. But they had a champion. God provided a saviour. And that was David. And David stepped into that situation. David, on his own, won a great victory against the enemy and defeated Goliath. David did that without the army. He did it without Saul's armour. He did it on his own with God's help. And having defeated Goliath, and having gained a great victory, David chose to share that victory with his brothers and the nation. And then after he's defeated Goliath, he calls them and they all rush in and they root the Philistines and they kill them and they scatter them. And they also share in David's victory. And hopefully, from the way that I've just described that, you'll see why that was the emphasis I wanted to take for the gospel. We are helpless to deal with our sin. There is nothing that we can do. We are the Israelites. We cannot go and overcome it. We cannot go and defeat them in battle. We cannot gain the victory. But there is one who can and has. And that's Christ. The Lord Jesus stepped into that battle on our behalf. On the cross, that's what was happening. He was facing the wrath of God for sin, for our sin. And he died, and we know because on the third day he rose, he was victorious. He is victorious. He has risen today as the champion over all things. And what does he do with his great victory? He shares it with us. That is remarkable. Praise the Lord for that. And that's what we were talking about on Tuesday. Now, another point of reinforcement that we get into camp for the teaching is we have a time during the timetable of small groups. Those are usually organised by gender and age, and we would split the children into groups based on those categories. We would assign a couple of adults who would be with them all week in that organisation, and they get a chance there to either ask questions or be asked questions to try and get them to really engage with the teaching. I was a small group leader this year. I had a group of 4 girls who were kind of in the middle age range, 10 and 11 years old. And what we did in small group time then, this immediately followed the talk, would be go out, find a location on site, sit down and chat and talk about what we've been teaching about. So what did you think about the fact that David didn't look the part? What would you say are the giants in your life? How do you think God can help you in this situation? Did you understand what I was saying about sin, or whatever it might be, and a chance to engage with that? What we typically find during the week is that on the first couple of days, they're closed books a little bit. They'll give you the one-word answers. They'll tell you what you want to hear, but they won't tell you what they're thinking. And we're really consciously trying to unpick that and to say, this is safe. You can tell me if you think this is a load of made-up nonsense. That's fine, because I'm then going to tell you why I don't think that that's true. But we have a chance for that and reinforcement. And on Tuesday, we did that straight after the breakfast talk. We then went off-site. So we do 2 off-site days during camp. On Tuesday, we went to a zoo, essentially, Peak Wildlife Park. Great day out. Lovely time. What we find with that is putting the children in different contexts around the members of the public, for example, or in places where they're seeing and experiencing things they've never experienced before, it just deepens the relationships and it means that we've got more opportunity to speak to them. So we went to Peak Wildlife Park. We had a good day. There's a play park. We could feed some wallabies by hand. That was great. The kids were mind blown on a lot of this stuff. They had polar bears, very cool. But we got a chance to do that. And it was a really blessed day, and God kept us safe, and really, it went pretty well overall. And the kids enjoyed themselves. We came home from that. We went straight to having dinner, if I've got this right. After dinner every day, we go on a walk, just to get the last bit of energy out before we do the evening's activities. So we just walk around the site. Sometimes we walk a very, very long way. Sometimes we don't walk quite as far, but we go for a walk. And then we did evening entertainments, the Bible reading, and we went to bed. Wednesday, another morning that was very similar. On Wednesday morning, what we were talking about was, from David's life, was David and Jonathan, and something about their friendship. But they were a little bit challenging to prepare for, actually. So we'll see when we get there here, how we deal with that. But a very encouraging portion of scripture, because what you see is you see an immediate, deep and meaningful friendship between David and Jonathan, to the point where Jonathan would risk his life for David. So Saul is so caught up in his troubled spirit, and he is so angry, he wants to kill David. This happens quite a few times, but there's one occasion where that happens, and he's looking for David, and David's in hiding, and David says to Jonathan, "Do this test to see if Saul is actually looking to kill me. Tell him that I've gone to do an errand for you, and see how he reacts. If he reacts really poorly, it's because he wanted to find me and kill me. If he reacts and says, oh yeah, that's fine, then maybe it's okay." And lo and behold, Jonathan goes in, does this. Saul is very, very angry because he wants to kill David. And he actually throws his spear towards Jonathan. And Jonathan's life is in danger because of his friendship, really, because of the fact that he's defending David and he's hiding him. So we talked about that. We talked about, you know, there are still applications as well. I would make that point in these talks that aren't directly the gospel is the point of those, but friendships is very important for children that age. So we're able to talk to them about the importance of friendships. And then to say, there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. There is somebody, you know, greater love has no man than this, than a man lay down his life for his friends. We're able to make that our verse of application and to say, David and Jonathan's friendship is amazing, and hopefully you guys can experience great friendships. But actually, it points us forward to one who would give his life for even his enemies, people who are far off from him. He would give his life for them. That's the kind of love that we're talking about. Wednesday, we did more on-site activities. Kids went up high ropes. Smaller kids went on an obstacle course and did archery, and everybody had a good time. That was great fun. Dawn was the best archer. I'll just lay that out now. She beat all the children and all the adults, so watch out if Dawn's got a bow in her hand. And then on, we did our lunchtime talk again, and then on Wednesday afternoon, and actually we only had really this opportunity to do this year because of the way that we organised the timetable, and we'll probably do this a bit more in future, and have done loads more in the past. But Wednesday afternoon was an afternoon where we ran activities on site. So we give the children a choice. It's the illusion of choice, really. We don't want them, one of the things we don't do at Firewood is we don't give kids free time. So we don't say to them, go and do what you like. We're really intentional about spending time with the children and putting on a program that means that they have attention. Because that's what a lot of these kids need, is they just need attention. They have attention all the time, and they have people working with them all the time. So we gave them the choice on Wednesday afternoon. Do you want to do a craft? Do you want to play some sports? Or do you want to learn a dance? And actually, there was about a 33-33-33 split in terms of the percentages. Some of them went and did some crafts. Some of them did some dancing. Some of them played some sports. And it was one of these moments where you just look at what's going on. I was stood back a little bit. I wasn't running any of the activities, but I could see them all happening because it's not a huge site. And it was just so encouraging to my heart to see what I would describe as a family holiday just happening in front of me. People just spending time with each other, having a good time and doing those things. That was pretty much the whole afternoon. We did a little scavenger hunt as well, but we had the children doing those things on site. Thursday. Thursday's talk was David and Bathsheba. Now, quite a sensitive one, really, to talk about with children, particularly perhaps the children that we get on camp. I think that the family circumstances of many of these children are very complex, if I was to put it like that. And so to teach on a passage where there's adultery, to teach on a passage where there's kind of, yeah, complex family situations can be a little bit challenging, but actually it went really well. And what were we looking at in that? Well, we were looking at the fact that David obviously takes Bathsheba, another man's wife, gets her pregnant, tries to cover it up by a couple of methods, tries to make it look like it's actually her husband's child, but that doesn't work because her husband's so loyal to him, which is something we'll see. Instead, David covers up his sin by committing further sin, which is murder. So he gets Uriah killed. And what we're able to do, really on Thursday, we typically aim to do this on Thursday as well as kind of the emphasis point. Having taught a lot of truth to the children is to just confront them with their sin. We can't dance around it. We shouldn't dance around it. It's the truth of all of our lives. The challenge I found this year, and I find often on camp, is, and I think we can understand why, a lot of these children are very good at pointing out things in other people, and we're all like this. If you're disciplining a child because they've hit someone, the first thing they'll say is, why aren't you telling them off? You know, that it's all about other people, and everybody does what's right in their own eyes, don't they? But really what Thursday was about, emphasising to them, is sin just breeds more sin, and trying to cover it up is not the point. And actually, what happened after David tried to cover it up, when he was confronted by Nathan, the prophet, he repented. And he said, it's against God that I've sinned. And he turned. And in God, he found grace. And the only way that he was able to find grace in God is because we look forward and we see that there is a sufficient sacrifice been made in Christ. So we're able to do that there. The rest of Thursday, we spent at Alton Towers. So we went to do some roller coaster riding. I think we probably, if you ask any of us, might have had slightly different experiences. I was looking after Edie and we were in CBeebies Land for a while. I think Dawn, you were in CBeebies Land with some of the children as well, which was nice. And some of the other ones were absolute thrill seekers and were on the big rides and having a great time. What really encouraged my heart, we had a leaders meeting in the evening. We had that every day just to share encouragements and share what's happened really during the day. That evening, it was just a joy to hear that in the queues, which were about 40 minutes, 50 minutes for a lot of the rides, in the queues, every member of the public in the queue has heard all of our songs, for example. And they've heard our children doing the actions and having a great time, because the kids were so comfortable in it that that's what they were doing when they were queuing up. But again, a really blessed day. God kept us safe. We had an ice cream. We had some lunch together. And we got to just enjoy being outside. The weather was good. And it was a real highlight for a lot of people. And again, same thing with the kids. Brings them out of their comfort zone, which just deepens your friendship and deepens your relationship with them. We spent the rest of the day kind of doing the usual things, going having our dinner. We were planning to have on Thursday evening a sketch show where every small group produces a sketch, whether that be they act out one of the stories from the Bible. Usually they'll do impressions of some of the leaders on camp, or they'll do their favourite parts and they'll act out their favourite parts and so on. We didn't get time for it because we'd had such fun at Alton Towers. We didn't have time for it that evening. So instead what we did was we prepared the sketches, and then the next day we had our sketch show. But that's what we do on Thursday. And then finally, Friday. Friday, same start to the day. What was my message for Friday? Well, really, having looked at the kind of the spectrum of experience that David had of being chosen, of the defeating Goliath, of the friendship with Jonathan, and then his sin with Bathsheba, it's then on Friday the chance to talk about the fact that David as king was then promised a dynasty and a throne that would not pass away, that would be with his family forever. And the fulfillment of that is Christ. And the emphasis to try and give to the children on Friday was to take away the fact that Jesus isn't just the king of camp. Jesus is king and can be king of your life. And that can continue. And we can help with that by plugging them into the youth group. So Thrive Cafe, half the kids are in Huntingdon, Thrive is perfect for them. And we're really hopeful that we're going to keep those relationships. Many of them already go to Thrive, so that's part of how we've got them to camp at Thrive Cafe. In Stoke, they're about to start a new children's work for this age group. They're already doing some stuff for sort of secondary school up, but now it's to say, can we get you guys along and invite you to this? Because Jesus is king outside of camp as well, and that's what we want them to know. So told them that, did more activities at Stanley Head, and then in the afternoon, There was just various things crammed in that we needed to get done. But we did a sketch show, and the children acted out, and you could tell they'd really listened and they'd really understood, because they told the stories better than I did, and they did some wonderful acting. There was a lot of silliness as well, which was great. We spent some time on Friday making sure they've got deliberate space to say thank you and goodbye as well, so a chance to talk to the leaders and say goodbye. It tends to get quite emotional at that point for various reasons. It's been a great week, so obviously everybody misses the people that they're about to say goodbye to, but also we know that many of them are going back to quite challenging rest of the summer holidays. They're not going to have a good 5 weeks now. They're going to have quite a challenging one. You know, we were talking to some of the kids, and on their phone it keeps a track of how much time they're on it during the day, on screen time. And for one of them, she was saying that her brother just regularly is at 20 hours a day on his phone. 3 hours of sleep, back up, 20 hours on his phone. That's what many of these children are kind of going back to. And so, as we say goodbye to them, and as we, you know, we pray with them and we wish them all the best, it's quite an emotional time. Typically, we will send off the minibuses in tears. Half an hour in, they'll be singing praises again, and it'll be a great time. And the same thing did happen today. But yeah, it was a wonderful week. After that, we pack down and we get ready, and then we go home as well. Father, we thank you for a witness to you that there has been there in that camp for the last 20 years, and that there are so many children who have been through camp and heard the gospel, and for a few of them, Father, are now going on strong for you. They've been saved, they've been baptised, they've joined local churches. Father, what an encouragement that is to our hearts, and we pray that you would continue to bless the work with that type of fruit. We thank you for everything that you've done for us this week. We just ask that you receive our thanksgiving and our prayers now. In Jesus' name. Amen.